What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly, and this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, on today's show, we're excited to drop our position group series where we're going to be breaking down every position group. And I know we didn't say which one we're doing today, but as you can probably see if you saw the title of this episode, today we're previewing the quarterbacks on the Chargers. So we're going to save that for the end of the show because we do have a couple of things to talk about to start. We have a question from Lewis Bentzman on Twitter to start the show today, asking if we would package player on the Chargers right now that they might not be able to pay in the future with a draft pick to maybe land a stud offensive lineman. And then we also have an Anthony Lynn interview on SportsCenter with Neil Everett talking about the Chargers state of the union, basically, and talking about how confident he is in this team, his coaching style, and so much more. So we're going to start the show off with that, and then we'll wrap things up in the last couple of segments talking about quarterbacks, whether Phillip Rivers can keep up his Pro Bowl type of play that he's had the last few seasons, even being in the MVP conversation, how we feel about the backup situation, how this team is set up for the future with these quarterbacks, what the state of the Chargers would be if Phillip Rivers were, God forbid, to get hurt, and all of the above. So we'll save that for the end of the show. A lot to talk about there. But let's get started, guys. I do always want to answer Twitter questions when we get them. And today we only have one, but I thought it was a thought at least that was worth exploring. So Lewis Bentzman definitely gives us a lot. We always appreciate him on Twitter. And he had another one yesterday saying, hey, would you trade away Gordon, Ingram, or Eckler, or someone you're going to have to pay and package that with a third to fifth round pick to try to land a stud O-lineman? Justin Jackson is back without having to pay him much. You must fix the line. So I think that this is a good thought, and I will give my opinion on it soon. But David, when you see something like that, you know at some point with the players that are on the Chargers roster, we're already seeing it with Melvin Gordon right now, with them not having extended him yet, that they don't know if they're going to pay him top dollar. So if you're wondering about maybe having to pay these guys and thinking you won't be able to, would you be willing to package something like that together with, you know, a third to fifth round pick, like Lewis Bentzman says, to try to find a stud offensive lineman?
That's a really tough question for me, man, because I guess I'm, as a fan, I'm invested in each one of those players. I love watching, you know, Melvin Gordon, Melvin Ingram, you know, Austin Eckler. I mean, I think out of those guys that I mentioned, I probably would be most apt to maybe move Eckler just because he's an undrafted free agent and he's kind of more of a commodity and a guy that I just don't see, you know, being capable of being an every down running back. It just depends. I mean, if this injury for Russell Okung is more serious than, you know, we know about as of this moment, then yeah, I think I would be more apt to try to pull a trigger on something like that. But yeah, it's a really interesting question, guys. I mean, Phillip Rivers' window is closing and we don't know, you know, maybe, you know, that stud offensive lineman might be the final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, and I'll start by saying I don't think that there's a lot of targets out there right now. I don't think there are many teams that are willing to give up a stud offensive lineman at really any cost. I mean, especially a third to fifth round pick and a guy whose contract is going to run out. I mean, Melvin Ingram's a little bit different, John, because he has this year and next year under contract for the Chargers. And if you're trading him, hey, before the seasons, you lose 2 years of that contract. And he is one of the highest paid players on the team, but I definitely think he can play up to that value from that contract, especially considering what edge defenders are making these days. I think he can live up to that money and still be decent value at the position. Austin Eckler, I don't think Austin Eckler is really in big jeopardy of getting a giant payday. I don't see that necessarily in Austin Eckler's future because he just hasn't shown, and not his fault at all, but he hasn't been the main guy for a season. So when you're talking about, you know, third down specialists, pass catching running backs, those guys don't make a lot in the free agent market, especially running backs getting older guys, even though he is younger, but getting guys that are not on a rookie contract, John, that's not appealing to a lot of teams. So I guess the one that would make the most sense is Melvin Gordon, but then you'd still lose all this year of Melvin Gordon. So I think, would I be willing to trade Melvin Gordon in a third to fifth round pick? If I knew I was getting a stud offensive lineman, I might think about it, but it would make me very much question the Chargers running back core. Even though I like it a lot, I think it starts at the top of Melvin Gordon, and the rest of those guys' skill sets kind of feed off of that.
The real question I have is, when are you going to make this trade? You know, like, if you're going to make this trade to wait until like week six or something like that, you know, is any of these guys going to be healthy enough to be traded? Because if Melvin Gordon's hurt, which he has injury issues, you won't be able to trade him. And then if your only options are Eckler or Ingram and you still need that offensive lineman, would you be willing to trade one of those guys? And then the other situation of this is, who are you trading for? Because whatever that guy's contract is, you might just be able to trade a third round pick and get an offensive lineman. Some teams are willing to trade just for that one draft pick. And if you have enough cap space, you can keep all three of those guys and still get an offensive lineman. But if the contract's too big, then you have to look at whose contract fits the best and which one would work best for your situation to get that offensive lineman while also losing a talent. And I agree with you. Out of all three of those guys, the guy that makes the most sense is Melvin Gordon, because if he's not going to get paid this year, then he's going to walk. Probably he's going to get paid by somebody else, and probably far more than we can afford. So you got to at least get something for him. Eckler, I mean, he's a guy you could probably use for the future, really. He might have had one great year and one pretty good year, and you're not really certain if he's going to be great again, but he has more potential to be with us for lower money than Melvin Gordon does. And the defense is so stacked right now and doing so well, I wouldn't want to trade Melvin Ingram. I want to keep the defense where it is and just work on the offense.
Yeah, especially because there's no immediate backup plan for Melvin Ingram that you'd feel great about. But with him on the field, it's one of the fiercest pass rushing duos in the league. But I think with Melvin Gordon, you have to look at a guy like Todd Gurley, who got a huge usage rate over the last few seasons and then absolutely disappeared last season when he was the bell cow running back. And they've already said, the Rams, that is, that he's not a bell cow running back anymore. Like, that's how quick it can happen. So I think with running backs, Melvin Gordon's gotten a ton of touches the last few years and has been injured pretty much every year. So I know that's another conversation for another time. We'll get into it more with the running back position group. I think it's a worthy thing to talk about. At the same time, these kind of trades, trading a player for a player, even when you're throwing a pick in there, do not happen very often. I wish it was as easy as that, and I think I would probably sign up for it, even with the lack of clear options behind Melvin Gordon, knowing there's talent there. If you could get a stud offensive lineman, I think I would do it, but I just don't see it being very likely. All right, guys, it's time to get into Anthony Lynn's SportsCenter interview, talking about giving the power to his players, as well as the urgency this team is facing right now with Phillip Rivers getting up there in age. This is from ESPN.
I read a headline. It said, Anthony Lynn passes power to the players. What's that mean to you?
Some power to the players, okay? It's just players coaching players, players holding each other accountable. When, you know, when players buy in that way, you know, I think that's powerful itself. And we're only going to go as far as our players take us. You know, it doesn't matter who you have on the staff, who you bring in. You know, those guys are going to come together as men. They make their minds up that they want to go out and do something special, and then that's when it happens. And I like the leadership that we have right now.
But is there a sense of urgency given where he is in his career?
You know, that's been a sense of urgency for me from day one. You know, you don't get too many opportunities to win a Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, year one, we fell a little short. We didn't even get in the tournament. Year two, we got in the tournament. We lost in the divisional round. Now, it's going to take a lot of work to get back to the tournament. But when we get there, I like our chances to go a little further.
All right, well, there it is, guys. I think there's a lot of good things coming from that. And I think you've seen what Anthony Lynn is saying when he says that right there, with what the roster looks like and the guys they've brought in, especially when you're talking about a guy like Thomas Davis, as far as bringing leaders onto this team and having them coach the other players on it. And I also think that Anthony Lynn is lying a little bit about the urgency that this team faces right now with Phillip Rivers getting older. So, David, when you hear that about Anthony Lynn giving the power to his players. We've definitely seen a better football culture with the Chargers than we've seen in a long time. And I think you have to give him some of that credit for that, because he definitely seems like a player coach, and these players do seem to hold each other accountable.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think Anthony Lynn's a guy that the guys want to fight for. I think Anthony Lynn's the type of leader that inspires people to follow him because they believe in what he's saying and what he's done. I mean, he's a multiple-time Super Bowl champion, so he has the pedigree that resonates with the players. And like you said, he's a player's coach. I completely agree with that. Now, on the answer about the sense of urgency, I think that's a very much a diplomatic coach type of answer, you know, not trying to, you know, sway one way or another. But I think it's pretty clear that obviously we don't know how much longer Phillip Rivers is going to be playing. I mean, let's be honest, 3-4 years max. I mean, yes, the window is closing. And how long are they going to be able to keep this amount of talent controllable and under contract all playing together? I mean, that obviously that window is closing even quicker, I think, than Phillip Rivers' window. So is there a sense of urgency? Absolutely. And right now it's at an all-time high.
Exactly. I mean, you just can't say that the sense of urgency for the Chargers is the same as the Dolphins right now in their rebuilding phase or any other terrible team out there right now. It is different. It is different because you have an older quarterback and because you have so much young, talented so many young, talented players on your defense that are all on rookie contracts right now. You have Desmond King, you have Derwin James, Nazir Adderley, Joey Bosa. All these guys are on their rookie contracts and you have them so cheap. You have to take advantage of it right now. And John, another thing, and as far as the players coaching players thing, I think you've seen that from what his coaching style has been and how these practices go down and how these players not only respect each other and listen to each other, but enjoy each other. These guys seem to have a lot of fun. And I think you need to have a really tight-knit group and a coach that's going to kind of let them be themselves to really have guys be able to bond that closely. And another thing he talked about, John, later on in the interview is just his dreams. I think you guys both have the same kind of sentiment towards that when he says, hey, my biggest dream is to be the last team standing. And that's the only thing you should ever dream about. It's the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning and so on and so forth. And I think you have to like that coming from your coach because I think you feel exactly the same way.
I feel exactly the same way. There's no other reason to be playing. If you're here for a paycheck, then you're going to be miserable when you get that injury and you're no longer getting paid, or when you're that undrafted free agent who had one good season, you're thinking, oh, here comes that 8-year deal. I'm about to get paid millions, and then it doesn't come. You're going to be highly upset and you're going to have no reason to continue anymore. Or even if you're guys like Joe Flacco, who wins one Super Bowl, gets that high paying contract, and then you can just tell that he hasn't even tried like he used to. He hasn't trained as hard or kept his body in shape as he used to. And now he's getting hurt all the time. Now he's on different teams. It's stuff like that. You're not motivated anymore. And you have to always want to win the Super Bowl every year to be motivated to be your best. And Anthony Lynn obviously has that mindset, and he's keeping the players with that mindset. I know Phillip Rivers has that mindset. And by having players coach each other, it's less on the coach, really. If you're having a guy like Phillip Rivers who's telling a wide receiver, you know, hey, next on this play, you're supposed to go here. If you read this, you run this route. But if you read this, you do this route. That's less Anthony Lynn has to do. And now Lynn can focus on something like the running back, which is his specialty, or he can focus on the O-line's mistakes, stuff like that. It makes it easier for a head coach. If you're a head coach that does not allow that on your team, you might be the guy with that huge ego that wants to be the guy that does everything. And that's why you don't win.
Well, we've talked many times before just about, hey, Anthony Lynn didn't come into this team with any sort of real specialty as far as being, you know, an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, as far as his background goes. But there's one thing he does, and it's command respect in that locker room. And I think his guys really do want to play for him. And I don't think it's BS what he's saying. I think he does truly believe it. He seems very confident in his team. I know he doesn't want to oversell them and put the expectations too high, but I think he expects the most from his team. And I think he, having been on two Super Bowl teams, like you mentioned, David, I think that he knows this team has the talent to get there. But we do have one more segment. We do have two more segments to get into. In the next segment, we're going to be talking about quarterbacks and the state of the quarterback position group on the Chargers right now as we head into training camp coming up before you know it, guys. So we're going to get into that. But first, I know that the Chargers winning a Super Bowl is going to be very hard. But you know what's not hard, John?
Don't do this.
Stepping your game up in the bedroom. And you can do it with our friends at BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast, so you can be ready when the moment is right. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're way cheaper than a pharmacy is, and it's all prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If they visit BlueChew.com, they can get their first shipment for free when they use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All they have to do is pay $5 in shipping. So that's BlueChew.com, B-L-U-E. Chew.com, promo code locked on to try it for free, guys. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, now it's time to get into something that we kind of previewed a little bit on the last show, talking about all of the position groups on the Chargers. And I think it makes sense, guys, to start with the position group that is the most important, really, and one that you kind of need if you want to do anything in the NFL, and that is quarterbacks. So the Chargers haven't had to worry about who their backup quarterback is for a very long time, and that's because of Phillip Rivers, who has been, you know, the Chargers' best quarterback of all time and what he's been able to do with the Chargers, even with the lack of postseason success so far. Phillip Rivers is obviously the answer. I don't think there's as many Phillip Rivers haters out there now with what he's been able to do over the last couple of seasons. But, guys, we still have to talk about where this team is at the quarterback position. With Phillip Rivers being at his age right now, you have to beg the question of where this team is and where does it go during the last couple of years of Phillip Rivers and where they go after. And if this position group right now with the guys they have in there is really looking good for that scenario. So starting with Phillip Rivers, I mean, 2018, 68.3 completion percentage, 4,308 yards, 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, guys. I mean, that's a pretty damn good season, even though he slowed down at the end. He's had at least 4,250 yards for six straight seasons, and last year had a passer rating of 105.5. So, David, I guess the question is, do you expect more of Phillip Rivers this year? Do you just expect him to at least be able to continue that high level of play in 2019?
This might sound crazy, but I expect this to be the best year of Phillip Rivers' career. I think everything is lined up. I think he's going to have the best defense he's ever had. I think he's going to have strong, experienced weapons at every skill position on offense. I think the coaching staff has continuity. Hopefully, Ken Wisenhut opens up the playbook a little bit more. But I think this is the most complete team that Phillip Rivers has had in, you know, a long time, probably since 06. So I expect this to be his best year of his career. And I can't wait to watch it. I'm really, really excited, actually.
I mean, I don't think it's absolutely crazy to think that he could have his best season. But at the same time, John, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a season kind of like what Drew Brees had last year, where he was incredibly efficient, but he took a little bit of a step back in the offense. Obviously, the Chargers don't have Taysom Hill. They have Tyrod Taylor behind Phillip Rivers, so I don't really see any sub packages popping out this year necessarily. But at the same time, John, do you think it would be better if they found a way to be less dependent on Phillip Rivers and, you know, lean on the rest of the team a little bit more, which might, you know, curve his numbers a little bit?
Well, I don't know if that's possible with the offensive line you have.
That's true.
If you try to run the ball with the offensive line we have, you're going nowhere. But Rivers has shown that with pressure in his face, he can still get you a first down. So you're going to have to rely on Phillip Rivers. But to say that this is going to be his best year he's had, I highly doubt it, just because you've lost one of your weapons at wide receiver and the offensive line is probably taking a step back unless you find something in Forrest Lamp or some undrafted free agent that can fix everything. But to say that you're going to go another route in the offensive scheme to take it out of Rivers' hands, I just can't see it happening with that offensive line and with health. With the offensive line the way it is health going to be an issue too? Is Melvin Gordon going to stay healthy? Is Austin Ekeler going to stay healthy with guys hitting him in the backfield when someone misses a block? These are all questions to me that make it to where you have to really figure out, is Rivers going to be our guy, or are we going to make it a balanced offense, or are we going to make it like Marty Schottenheimer's offense where it's a run-heavy offense? You know, which one of those three do you go after? Based on the Chiefs game last year with Chris Jones and Rivers' face, and Rivers still leads us down the field, I have to say Rivers has to be the guy.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, he doesn't have a great offensive line, and every season seems to start out with, hey, we're not going to put so much on Phillip Rivers' plate, and then after that fails for a little while and they struggle offensively, it goes, all right, Phillip, take us to the promised land. It just seems like that's pretty much how it plays out every year. You know, even when Anthony Lynn came in, we're going to be a power running team. It just never seems to actually work out that way. They need Phillip Rivers, and especially if he's going to be under pressure, you need to be able to have him kind of just take over the reins and kind of do whatever he has to do to some extent, which is a little bit scary. But John, another question for you just quickly. Are you concerned at all with the way Phillip Rivers ended last season? So his last four games, including the playoffs, he had a 59.5 completion percentage, 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So we've seen some quarterbacks in the past. Some people are saying the same about Drew Brees. And even when Peyton Manning had his, you know, bad end to a season before his atrocious season where he ended up winning a Super Bowl somehow. Are you concerned at all that Phillip Rivers slowed down so much towards the end of the season and started playing worse once the games, I mean, became even more important?
No, but because as I mentioned before, the offensive line just got even worse last year. You had guys getting hurt. He was playing with some beat up people on the offense, and the teams he started playing were even rougher teams, especially the Patriots. The Patriots alone was just a rough game. Nobody could get open. He had that one good play to Keenan Allen. Other than that, it was like as if Bill Belichick took like an x-ray to Rivers' head and said, okay, I know exactly where they're going to go. And they put everybody in that spot. Everybody that was on a route, every receiver, running back, tight end, had a guy on them. There was nothing he could do with that. And then when it came to the Ravens games, the Ravens defense is just a really tough defense, and you're bound to have turnovers in a rough time, but he still found a way to get them the win. He even got a first down running. So to say that it worries me, not really. The last few games of the season last year were just really rough teams.
I mean, I think you have to be worried a little bit. But just because, I mean, he is getting older, guys, and it's at this point in his career, at 37 right now, it's going to drop off at some point. And I think that's a scary point. Yes, you see guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees who are still doing it at a high level. But you still have to think about the fact that he could go the way of Peyton Manning, where it just all falls apart, where he loses all the arm strength, and it just gets sapped. He didn't have a big neck surgery, but at the same time, you have to be ready for him one of these years to just come out and not be the answer. I mean, he's really gone against the odds with how well he's played over the last couple of seasons. And I think we take it for granted a little bit because, like I've said before, those 4-12 and 5-11 seasons, most people thought Phillip Rivers was done. But I do expect to see a very similar season out of him this year. And I don't think Phillip Rivers will be what holds this team back from achieving the big goal that they want in a Super Bowl. But we have more questions to talk about, specifically talking more about the guys behind Phillip Rivers, Easton Stick, Cardale Jones, and Tyrod Taylor, and how we feel about those guys, and many more questions coming up right after this. All right, final segment of the day. Talking quarterbacks, the Chargers position group right now, we decided to focus on today. And now I want to talk more about the guys behind Phillip Rivers. And it starts, David, with Tyrod Taylor. Probably one of the better backup quarterbacks that Phillip Rivers has ever had. I mean, you go back to Billy Volek, and he was pretty good in Phillip Rivers' absence. But you don't have a guy like this very often. We've seen the backup quarterback be, I mean, really bad, whether it's Kellen Clemens or Charlie Whitehurst or whoever you want to say. You would never feel confident if any of those guys came into the game. Last year it was Geno Smith, and we saw him go out there, try to attempt a pass, and fumble it. So right now, David, I think the Chargers' backup quarterback is about as good as you could be, and I think that even if Tyrod Taylor had to step in for a few games, this team could really not take a huge step back.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, that's a definite luxury to be able to say that, because, I mean, I remember probably, you know, 8 to 10, maybe 12 years, you're like, well, Phil Rivers gets hurt, season's over. You had absolutely no confidence in a backup quarterback at all. Now you have a legitimate backup quarterback who has starter experience, who has won games in the NFL. You feel a lot more confident that, you know, if God forbid something happened to Philip, and you know, like you said, Tyrod had to step in and play a couple of games, you feel like, you know, hey, we could probably get some wins. It's, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of a drop-off, obviously. Philip Rivers is a future Hall of Famer, but you have more confidence than you have had in a very long time. Even, you know, getting to Easton Stick, I mean, he's got some promising characteristics. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen there. But, yeah, the backup quarterback position is definitely – it is as strong as it has been since probably Billy Volek.
Now that Nick Foles is in Jacksonville and not behind Carson Wentz anymore, I think that the Chargers could have the best 1-2 punch at quarterback in the NFL. I think Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Brees would be up there, even if you wanted to throw Taysom Hill in there, even though he's not really a quarterback at all. I mean, the guy returns kicks, for God's sake. But I think they're up there with the, you know, the best 1-2 punch, the best tandem of quarterbacks in the league. And John, I think you see a type for Anthony Lynn. I mean, you have Easton Stick being drafted by the Chargers in the 5th round. And then you bring in a guy like Tyrod Taylor who can use his legs as well, even though I don't think he's as much of a mobile quarterback as most people think he is. I mean, he's still a guy that from 2015 to 2017 had 14 rushing touchdowns. 2016, he ran for 580 yards. 2017, he ran for 427 yards. And, I mean, 6 touchdowns 2016, 4 touchdowns 2017. He's a guy that can move around. So is Easton Stick. I think Anthony Lynn knows what direction he's going to want to go after Philip Rivers retires.
Yeah, I've even said before when we first got him and we were watching the first 3 games, I was saying I think Lynn's trying to run the read option offense, and you could tell that he was trying to do something like that with Rivers, but it doesn't work like that with Rivers, and he wants that running QB. So whether he's trying to use a backup QB to actually prepare the team for the future, or if he's maybe saying, okay, if all things fail, if Rivers goes down, I at least have my offense ready to go. Whatever it might be, he wants that running QB. And I believe Tyrod's actually a better mobile quarterback than most people think, actually. From watching him at Virginia Tech to what he does in the NFL, he hasn't had the greatest teams around him. But if you were to actually make him the read option QB, I think he would be really good at it. With Easton Stick, I don't know if he's exactly the read option QB type. He's more of a pocket passer guy. I like to consider him the Russell Wilson type. He's that kind of guy that can roll out the pocket and stretch the field. He can sit in the pocket also and deliver some passes, but going outside the pocket's more of his thing because of his height. So to say that he's going to be the read option type, I don't think he will be, but he can definitely stretch the field by running, and it definitely fits into Lynn's game plan as well, because he wants to be able to do more than just running up the middle and pocket pass.
Well, and I mean, that's a big advantage, you know, having teams have to account for a quarterback in the read option. I mean, there's a reason why it's worked well with some of the teams that have run it recently. I mean, you saw what Lamar Jackson was able to do on the ground last season. I mean, you even saw Colin Kaepernick when he kind of exploded onto the scene. And even like Patrick Mahomes, like he's not a guy that they're going to design a lot of runs for, but he's a guy that can still use his legs to get yards. He can scramble. He can extend plays. I think Easton Stick could do that as well, even though, hey, he did have a good amount of designed runs just for him. But you definitely see what this coaching staff likes, and I'm really not surprised by that, but you could see what direction they'll probably want to go. And I think that honestly might be the way of the future. You look at guys that have been drafted like Deshaun Watson. You look at guys like Carson Wentz that uses his legs a lot. We're not really frowning on those positions. You have Josh Allen just drafted. He ran like crazy last year. There's just a ton of them. And I think we're kind of getting back into liking those quarterbacks as a league in the NFL. But talking about a guy that can't really run, Cardale Jones is still on this roster right now, David. And right now, in my opinion, he looks like the odd man out. I don't think there's no way the Chargers are going to hold four quarterbacks this year. I don't know if he would go back to the practice squad at this point. So I think that, David, I don't know if there's a spot for Cardale Jones on this roster once those final cuts come down and they get down to 53.
Yeah, I think the infatuation with Cardale Jones is for Anthony Lynn is probably over at this point. I think he recognized after the last couple of years that Cardale Jones is just not an NFL quarterback. I mean, I think we've seen that throughout the preseason, and anytime we've heard reports from training camp, he's just not an NFL quarterback. I mean, that's unfortunately a very cold way to put it, but that's just how I see it from what I've seen over the years. So, yeah, I think this is going to be Cardale Jones' final off season with the Chargers, as he is not going to be a member. I don't even think of maybe the practice squad. I think he's done with the Chargers this year.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, I do want to say that, hey, we have to leave a little bit of breathing room just because we've seen the Chargers keep guys that they like when you don't really understand it. You could even say that last year with Cardale Jones after he got beat out of the backup role by Geno Smith. It's like, why are you keeping this guy around still? So I think they've shown they've kept him even when they could have gotten rid of him. But I think that right now, John, I mean, the only guy you have on this roster projecting towards the future that could potentially be the answer at quarterback right now would have to be Easton Stick. We don't know anything about Easton Stick and how he's going to translate to the NFL level. But as far as the future goes, Tyrod Taylor is on a 2-year contract. We expect Phillip Rivers to probably play at least the next 2 years. So I don't know if that's going to be the option. And I don't know if you're going to be able to see that much with Phillip Rivers playing every day from Tyrod Taylor to say, okay, yeah, we brought this guy in, now he's the heir apparent. I don't see it that way. So, John, how do you feel about the Chargers' future at the quarterback position in general? And do you think that right now they kind of have to keep a guy like Easton Stick around because he is the only guy that could represent, a future starter at the position?
Well, one of my favorite things I'm waiting to see is the preseason games.
Which is saying a lot.
I really want to see what Easton Stick looks like. Mm-hmm. I remember some people got a little bit of hopes out of Brad Sorensen. I don't know why, but people did. And when it came to the preseason, he played a pretty good first game. Then after that, he was horrible. And it was like, why are the Chargers keeping this guy around? Why is Mike McCoy keeping this guy? And Easton Stick it's got to be that same situation. You got to see what he's like in the preseason before you can even decide if he's the future or not, or if there's any potential there. So before I can make that assessment, I got to see a preseason game. But if Easton Stick performs well, I think you have to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, because Easton Stick will get picked up from the practice squad by somebody else who's looking for a future QB or a potential backup QB that's a lot of quality. If all he needs is at least two good preseason performances, and someone's going to want to pick him up from the practice squad. So it's going to be the big question of whether to keep him on or not. But if he performs well, you have to keep him on, because he could be your future unless you decide to go with somebody else in the next draft.
Well, and that's the thing, is I'm definitely not anywhere near saying that he is a future starter. None of us know that yet. And even the preseason is something to be wary about. But obviously, you'd like to see him play well more than you'd like to see him, fail, even if it would help you get him on the practice squad. I still think even if he failed miserably, there'd be a team that would take a chance on him. I think the Chargers probably knew of a couple teams that wanted to take a chance on him. And that's why they took him in the fifth round, or at least they might have been thinking somewhere in line with that. But I think Easton Stick, it's too soon to tell, but I mean, if you're talking about him or Cardale Jones, you'd obviously take the upside in Easton Stick, and they obviously felt good enough about him to spend a fifth-round pick on it, which for the Chargers has been very valuable draft capital. But I think right now we're not really set up for the future at this position. You don't really know how quick that future is going to come. You don't know when Phillip Rivers is going to hang up the cleats and retire, but there's no obvious answer right now in this quarterback room. At the same time, I feel really good about it, especially in the present with a guy like Tyrod Taylor, even though, hey, I think Phillip Rivers would probably have to actually lose one of his legs to get brought off of the field. I don't think there's a two or three game injury for Phillip Rivers.
There's no way he's missing a game with an injury unless it's something that he absolutely cannot stand on.
I'm like, talking, Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith would have to happen to Phillip Rivers for him to not play. I mean, that was absolutely brutal.
He played on ACLs.
Brutal.
He played on torn ACLs, and he's played 208 straight games. All he has to do is play, I think, the first 3 weeks of the season, and he will already move up to the ninth all-time longest streak of consecutive games played in NFL history. And if he plays all 16 regular season games, he moves up to fifth.
Well, and he's already the NFL's Iron Man right now, as it is. So he already has that streak still going on. He's the player with the most active games in a row. But I think in conclusion, guys, I think we all feel pretty good about Phillip Rivers' chances of putting up another good season that would be good enough to take this team where it needs to go. I think we feel better about the backup situation than we felt in a long time. And I think there's a couple of question marks surrounding Easton Stick and Cardale Jones that we're going to have to see play out in the offseason and in the preseason. So I think there's a lot of questions still there, but I think as a whole, guys, we feel really good about the Chargers, at least presently. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Phillip Rivers still get a contract extension before this season, maybe for another 2 years. But that is going to wrap things up for the quarterback position group for our quarterback position group breakdown. Thanks for listening today, guys. Until next time, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. We do want to send a special shout out to our sponsor at Blue Chew for sponsoring the show today. And remember, guys, to always subscribe to the Locked On Chargers podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's the Himalaya podcasting app, Spotify, TuneIn, or wherever, you will always get it first when you subscribe and rate and review. If you guys want to get your thoughts on the show, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. We're still waiting for those voicemails, guys, and you just have to call in at 323-524-7924 to get your voice on the show. We play every voicemail. Thanks again to Lewis Bensonman for the question. But we will be back with another position group for you guys later on this week. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.